thinking big thoughts so you don't have to.
Friday.
Here's John Williams.
There's a big thought for you. We'll do our Bright Side Life segment at the end of the show. Where are you going to be around 2:45 this afternoon? I'll ask you.
Lord have mercy.
Call in, give me some good news, tell me why you're smiling. That's called The Bright Side. We do that on Fridays around 2:40, 2:42, 2:43. Where are you going to be? On the one. Actually, we haven't done it in many Fridays. We did it, I think, the Friday for our Hometown Voices tour stop. That was a disaster. Hard to do The Bright Side on the road. And then there was another Friday. Before that, I actually took off for my son's wedding. I'm not going to be here this Saturday, tomorrow, because we'll be with our friend Thomas Jefferson on stage at Elgin Community College. I think the show is sold out, but I'd love for you to at least try to be there. If you go to WGNradio.com/events, you can click through and find if there are any seats available. There's no bad seats in the house, but about 24, 48 hours ago, there was about 20 or 25 seats left. So it may be sold out, maybe not. And then we have the Meriwether Lewis show, and there's a few more seats that were available for that. So perhaps you'll see me on stage visiting with Meriwether Lewis of the Lewis and Clark Adventure, the greatest American adventure story of all time. And it's just remarkable. And so I'll come on to stage, say hello, bring Meriwether Lewis out. We'll talk for a bit. And then you get to answer questions or ask questions, too. And some of the things that you will hear, you will not believe. It's a funny and in some ways tragic story at the very end. That's the Meriwether Lewis story. And humor and heartbreak certainly tinge any Jefferson conversation, too. By the way, I was reading about Thomas Jefferson today. And I don't think we've ever mentioned this. I think I might bring it up with TJ when I talk to him tomorrow. But, you know, early in his life, when he was born, he was able to survive because of the efforts of a slave who was helping out with the birth. And late in his life, they point out, he was able to survive just a little bit longer because of the efforts of a slave. His life was bookended by the selfless efforts of the slaves that he or his family kept. In the latter story, he's lying down, and they were going to make a mask of him, you know, like a plaster mask. So he lays down, and they put this plaster mask on his face, and then it's going to dry. And while it's drying, it'll get a perfect feel of his face and his head, and then they'll be able to, I don't know, make a statue out of something. I don't know where everybody was. All I know is the way the story is told, that in this book I was reading, is that it starts to go badly, and now he's suffocating and he can't breathe. The mask is stuck on his face and he can't breathe. And so he starts pounding on the table and he can't yell for help because he's got this plaster mask on his face. What a terrible way to die for anybody. But I mean, there you are, Thomas Jefferson, and you're about to suffocate to death because you got a plaster mask on your head. So a slave comes in and goes, "What's up?" I'm not sure that that's exactly what the slave said.
Well, think of it, too. The likeness would be terrible because you'd have that awful look on your face.
That's right.
It wouldn't even be a good mask.
Well, there'll be Jefferson on Mount Rushmore, and his face will be, "Wah!" That's not what he's supposed to look like. So the guy came in and, I don't know, broke it off or helped him out and saved the day. Jefferson and Lewis on stage. If you want tickets, go to WGNradio.com/events. CNN, former Trump National Security Advisor Michael Flynn pleads guilty to lying to the FBI about conversations with Russia's ambassador and disclosed that he is cooperating with the special counsel's office. According to FBI, Flynn communicated with then-Russian ambassador to the U.S. Sergei Kislyak after being asked by a senior Trump transition official to find out how foreign governments stood on a coming U.N. Security Council resolution about Israel. So Flynn goes off to find out how they were going to vote on this Israel resolution. You know, if he's found guilty, he could go to jail for 5 years. It could be less, it could be more. But 5 years is the maximum prescribed sentence, although the judge has powers to make it, in fact, longer or shorter.
Well, you said if he's found guilty, he's guilty.
He pleaded guilty. He said he acknowledged that his actions, quote, were wrong, and through my faith in God, I am working to set things right. That's number four now, persons connected to Trump's campaign to be charged as part of Mueller's investigation. into possible collusion between the Russian government and members of Trump's team. Steve, I'm hoping to get somebody from Washington Post. Maybe ABC will join us in this half hour. But you understand my concern or question? I think it's everybody's is, okay, so Mueller, so Flynn lied about this conversation with Kislyak about a UN Security Council vote on Israel. Well, that's not the election. Flynn also called Kislyak to ask that Russia not respond too harshly to U.S. sanctions. Remember, after the information, you know, so we find out that Russia meddled with the election. So then Obama expels 35 Russian diplomats, and then Russia does not counter. And maybe that was at Flynn's behest, or, you know, they reached out via Flynn, the Trump transition team did. When asked about that, he said it didn't happen, but lo and behold, it did. But that still isn't a smoking gun that the Trump administration or campaign team.
Well, I think the mistake you're making is to assume this is all there is.
Yeah.
This is what he's pleading guilty to. And he clearly pleads guilty to a lesser charge of what they might have against him or what he might have now.
So that he might cooperate with more.
On other things, other more relevant things. Either way, if it's true, it's damning that the information says that he's calling very high-ranking transition officials at Mar-a-Lago, and then right afterward calling Kislyak and all of that. It's absolutely contrary to the story the Trump administration has said, that there were no contacts, and now you're going to have someone testifying under oath that, in fact, there were.
Some of it he says he doesn't recall, and in other instances he's admitting to lying. So I suppose the notion that... I mean, I was reading online today, and some people are saying, look, we're throwing this guy in jail. This is a witch hunt because he didn't remember a meeting. Are you kidding me? But I don't know how you get around the fact that he's pled guilty to lying to the FBI.
That's crazy. It's, you know, to saying that he's being thrown in jail because he didn't admit, didn't remember something. He admitted in court today that he lied to the FBI. So this idea it's about forgetting something, it just doesn't hold water.
So the Washington Post has a piece to say that his admission is an ominous sign for the White House. His court documents indicate Flynn is cooperating in the ongoing probe. That's your point.
Remember, too, he lied to the FBI when he was the National Security Advisor to the United States.
Yeah.
Probably the most sensitive job in the government.
And a job that he got because Jared Kushner and Ivanka Trump wanted him on the team. He was not the first choice of a lot of people in the administration, but the president was then taking most closely the counsel of his son-in-law and daughter. Boy, you sure haven't heard from old Jared much lately, have you? And so he's on the team. Even though, and I wonder if this was part of it too, the Obama administration threw Flynn out. Then he goes and forms this security advisory company with his goofball son. More about his son in a minute. Then Trump comes into office and he says, now you're my guy, even though, in fact, because the Obama administration said he was a bad manager and other things, they got rid of him. Then Trump comes in and anybody that's bad enough for Obama is good enough for Trump, and so in he comes. You could say that actually his resume warranted the position. I mean, he wasn't just some Johnny-come-lately. He's a retired general. Now aged 58, rose to the highest ranks of the Army over a three-decade career. CNN says only to see him fired from the military by the Obama administration before unexpectedly rising again on the heels of Trump's election victory.
Keep in mind, these people, Manafort and Flynn, are going to Donald Trump, aligning themselves with him at a time when not a lot of people were either.
So your point is that's why Trump was so loyal to him and giving him a position?
I would imagine, you know, they got in, they got access. Flynn was, they said, the guy who would fly with the candidate all over because he could keep him calm, you know, that he was at his right hand for much of the campaign.
Worked for the Russians and got $500,000. Got $34,000, $33,000 for a speaking fee at a Moscow event. Hosted by RT, that's the television network in Russia. It was their 10th anniversary, and there is Michael Flynn sitting at the honor table with Vladimir Putin. You weren't invited. Flynn's son, Michael Flynn Jr., has also faced scrutiny, though he's not been charged. Flynn Jr. served as his father's chief of staff and top aide with that consulting firm, the Flynn Intel Group. The younger Flynn has a penchant for spreading conspiracy theories on Twitter. He has smeared Trump's opponents, Hillary Clinton, Marco Rubio when they were running, as well as Muslims and other minorities. Most prominently, Michael Flynn Jr. peddled the debunked claim that a Washington pizzeria was a front for the Democrats to sexually abuse children. Flynn Jr. also sent a message to his critics, quote, "The disappointment on your faces when I don't go to jail will be worth all your harassment." Fred wanted to say something. You're on WGN. Hi, Fred. How are you?
Yeah, John, I just wonder, why is it when things happen like this, these guys bring up their faith in God and it's going to get them through this? Where was their faith in God before they did this, when they were supposed to believe in the Ten Commandments and be honest and trustworthy? Where was their belief in God then?
Thanks for the call, Fred. Appreciate you joining us. I know that's rhetorical. One person familiar with the mood, this is CNN again. One person familiar with the mood in the West Wing. What do you think the buzz in the White House is today, Steve? What are they saying?
Well, I know publicly sort of they're saying this guy lied before and he's lying to the FBI. We're not that surprised.
CNN says an insider at the White House says that they are breathing a sigh of relief. Quote, people in the building are very happy.
Really?
This does not lead back to Trump in any way, shape, or form. See, that's what I keep going back to.
That's funny because I heard other reporting that that they were very concerned about this because it does lead back to them. I mean, how can it not? There are, I mean, the documents say that he called a quote-unquote, what, high-ranking or very high-ranking transition official at Mar-a-Lago?
Yeah.
How could they be breathing a sigh of relief there? I mean, there might not be anything, but I don't know how they could be reassured by that.
Hillary Clinton, by the way, has said, quote, nothing.
Well, Hillary, that's smart.
If you're listening, Hillary, please. Do not say anything forever. Don't say anything. Don't say anything. Don't say anything.
For example, James Comey tweeted a Bible verse. Did you see that?
No, I did not.
From the book of Amos. But justice rolled down like waters and righteousness like an ever-flowing stream.
Comey said that?
Yeah.
What's that all about?
Well, he's like saying, you know, here it comes, but or you get your due.
Because the Bible doesn't say na-na-na boo-boo?
I'm surprised he did it, frankly, but...
By the way... Flynn has not said a thing publicly since February. And for those of you keeping score at home, this is December. He has not publicly uttered a thing. And in court, he just said yes and no. We'll keep you posted. It's 121. This is WGN. There was a story out this week. They said, okay, we now have science that talks about what's smarter, cats or dogs. We've had dogs
Hold it. What's smarter? I mean, who is smarter?
Steve Dale's in our studio now.
I apologize for interrupting.
No, that's pretty much all the introduction I've got for you, Steve. Welcome
that's
back.
That's all
How
I need.
You? So why are you cutting me off? What bothers you about even that?
Well, they're not what. What would be your computer screen? What would be the microphone?
Who are smarter?
Yeah.
Okay.
They're not
you.
Who's.
Thank
who's
you.
Are people?
Boy, are we off on a tangent.
Well, who's
so
are people?
Those things.
Not necessarily. And publications like... you name the newspaper, they've changed their ways now. I mean, when I first began writing about pets, I had to fight that fight. You know, it would be
Wait a minute. How do you refer to a dog or cat?
He or she.
Well, they certainly have gender, but doesn't that generally imply humanity to you?
No.
If, for instance, we were talking about an elephant, I would say that elephant.
He or she.
Elephant, it. This great big old elephant, I wouldn't say he or she.
It's a living thing.
Now that we've established that pets have gender, what is smarter, cats or dogs?
It's not an easy thing to answer. First of all, it depends on how you define intelligence. Now, I know you're referring to a new study that recently came out.
They counted the neurons or something?
Mm-hmm, in the prefrontal cortex, and that's where the most important thoughts come from. When we begin to plan out what we're going to do, that's where the neurons that matter matter. If brain size mattered, and that was all there was to it,
right.
The most intelligent whales would be ruling the world,
huge.
Right?
They'd be huge.
Yeah, but that's not the case. So it's what's inside that matters, and what they look at are neurons, particularly in the prefrontal cortex. And that's important to know, and I'll circle back to that. And it turns out that's where we have most of our neurons, and that's where our relatives, and indeed, John, they are our relatives, chimpanzees and gorillas and bonobos and orangutans.
I'm comfortable with that.
Okay, good. Same thing for them. So this new study said, you know what? Dogs lead the way. And it turns out that dogs have on average, about 530 million of these little neurons, while cats have about half as many, which also, incidentally, they didn't say so, implies that dogs are twice as smart as cats if they have twice as many of these neurons, right?
I buy that also.
Uh-huh. Well, no, wait. A study from just a few years ago said pretty much the reverse of that, that cats have about 300-plus neurons, and dogs have about half as many as those. So which one of the two is it? And I don't believe it matters in a sense because we can't look at that alone. We have to look at more than that if we define intelligence.
I don't know that I care necessarily. I mean, it's a fun argument to have, but you know cats and dogs are different. And you love your cat or you love your dog. You're a cat or a dog person, maybe you're both, but a lot of us sort of pick one of those teams. I'm on the team dog. But, you know, dogs are a pain in the ass, too, and cats you can leave for a day or so, and everything is fine. Here's the thing. I think cats are smart this way. They know how to run the room. They're so in charge. They so don't need you, right? I mean, they are going to get you to do everything for them, and they feel no obligation to return any affection or attention. Dogs, meanwhile, are, I think, smarter. So that to me is the description of why a cat might be smarter, because very passively they run the house. The dogs, though, they can do all kinds of things. Cat's not going to go get your newspaper. Cat doesn't know when you're coming home. Dogs seem to have intelligence and intuition that's greater than a cat's.
Well, there's no question that dogs evolved with us, and you're on to something really interesting there. So tests have been done to look at if there's a problem, what does a dog do, what does a cat do? And interestingly enough, dogs give up sooner than cats give up on average. And what dogs will do if they can't figure it out, they will quickly look to you to solve the problem. In fact, not help them necessarily, but do it for them. Which takes some intelligence, I suppose, but that's also a matter of millions of years of evolving with people. It's not surprising. Cats, if they can't figure it out what they do, sometimes as they look at the person, but generally what they do is they just say, the heck with it, I'm going to take a nap.
I think people have stories, though, about my cat is so smart, my dog is so smart.
Of course.
What's your best, my cat is so smart, my dog is so smart story or anecdote? Something that cat or dog does that you go, wow. That's
mine?
Pretty amazing.
I want to hear from people, too, 312-981-7200. But mine would be this. So I am, we had a dog named Lucy, a miniature Australian Shepherd. I don't believe you knew Lucy. She's passed away now for several years. And Robin, my wife, came home one day and said, you know, I want to teach something new to Lucy. She came home and told me this because Lucy did animal-assisted therapy at the very famous Rehabilitation Institute of Chicago. An amazing place,
yeah,
right?
Yeah.
And what our dog, every dog does a little something a little different. Our dog did cute circus tricks. So she said, just out of the book, teach my dog something different. So I thought, don't ask me why, I would teach her how to play the piano.
Keep going.
A little kid's piano. So I went to a place where you buy little kids' pianos, the little kids' piano store. I bought one of these, came home, closed the door of the room, and began to clicker train the dog to do these. So I would click. She'd lift her paw up a little toward the camera. I'd click to the piano. I'd click again. She would do the same thing. I'd click again. She'd come a little closer. I mean, things were going along as you'd expect them to go along. Well, I didn't close the door all the way. And in the room walks, saunters in, our Devon Rex cat named Ricky. And Ricky looked at me, looked at the dog, looked at the piano, and went, ping, 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 ping. And I thought, what am I fooling around with this dog for? Now, Ricky was already a very social cat, loved to go out with people, loved to go, actually, really, to go out into the world. When we left the house, the dogs, my wife and I, we would have neighbors actually asking, even though they knew we didn't have a baby. It sounded like we had a baby in the house because the cat would scream.
Oh, really?
Where are you? Yeah. So this cat loved going with us. So we actually would make appearances at places like Petco and PetSmart, do concerts. I had a prodigy here, you know. And in addition to that, appeared on TV all over. This was before YouTube. Appeared with Steve and Johnny, which is a whole different story that Steve and Johnny still remember. They swear it will make their book because they Ricky the cat almost knocked the station off the air. But nevertheless, here's a very smart cat, right?
That knew how to play the piano before the dog did that you were trying to train to play the piano.
Yeah. Yeah, as one example. Yeah, I mean, so you asked me, but you know what? It depends on how you define intelligence.
That's the thing, I think. I think there's different kinds of intelligence,
yeah.
Like EQ and IQ for human beings. I think dogs have a higher EQ. I think, and I also happen to think dogs are smarter, period, end. Although I've had nothing but dumb dogs, so what do I know? But it just seems to me like dogs are more capable. Maybe it's because we spend more time trying to train dogs to do tricks. You know, like, go fetch or sit or shake or things like that. People will show their dogs off that way. They don't their cats. But it's also like, you know, if you walk into the room, the dog sort of knows what you're going to do, and then they either get on the sofa or they go to the door. It seems like the dogs anticipate what you're going to do because they figured it out.
Have you ever lived with a cat?
No.
Well, there you go. So cats are
just as good at all of these things.
Many of these things. And you know what? So if a cat gets outside,
yeah,
and I'm not endorsing that people do this, the cat has a shot at surviving. Cats can still hunt.
Yeah.
Dogs, yeah. Not so much.
That's true.
So the reality is, you know, so dogs are social animals. And it was thought years ago, and books still say this, social animals have more intelligence because they need to communicate with one another about how to hunt.
Sure. Oh, no, wait. You think cats are smarter because they communicate with each other better about hunting?
No, cats don't do that, actually.
Yeah, right.
So cats do live in social groups. They are social animals, but they don't hunt cooperatively.
Yeah.
Truth of the matter is,
yeah,
dogs don't either.
Yeah.
So, in fact, dogs are really lousy hunters today,
mm-hmm,
compared to cats. So cats can still catch birds on occasion, depends on the cat, but many can, or catch mice or city rats even, if the rats don't overcome the cats in size, as city rats do. In fact, some of them are larger than some of our terriers.
Steve, pick one.
Dogs,
cats,
don't
cats
do
or
that.
Dogs? What's smarter?
Can't do it.
By the way, Kathy says that her parrot is actually smarter than both any cat or dog.
Maybe. Parrots are brilliant.
Yeah.
I understand that.
Bill, you're on WGN. What did you want to say? Hi.
Hi, it's Bill.
Hey, Bill.
I was going to say, if you ever saw my video when I'm America's Funniest, the way the cat would climb up on the edge of the windowsill by the front door, and the door had those handles, not like a knob, you know, the handle.
Yeah.
It would jump down, grab that handle, and hang, and then just slowly fall off as the door opened up, and then the cat would go out the door.
Pull it that way, huh? That's pretty good. That's pretty good. Thank you, Bill. I got to go to Kate. You're on WGN. Kate, jump in here. What did you want to say?
Hey, I'm so glad you picked me. I have a little kitty, and, you know, you've heard these stories about people training their cats to, instead of using a litter box, use the toilet. This has nothing to do with that. She learned how to flush the toilet from inside the tank.
What?
I would never have thought of teaching a cat or a dog or parrot or anything to do this. I was fiddling around in the tank trying to fix something, left the room, heard the toilet flush. I thought, no, I'm not in there. Went in, and here's Blueberry fiddling around with she knows how to do two different types of flushing. She either pulls the arm up, or she does this thing with her nose on the ball area. I don't even know what the parts are called. She taught herself this. All of my cats have figured out how to push open the door.
Yeah.
If I lock it, they go to the bottom of the door, unlock it from the bottom, and push it open.
It's amazing, isn't it?
Yeah, but not surprising to me. I mean, people send me videos of these things all the time.
Pete McMurray, one of our hosts
here,
just texted in. Pete says, please ask Steve Dale, who is the only host to have a dog take a dumper in the studio? You don't have to answer that.
Please, thank you very much. Thank you, Pete. Appreciate that.
Let's just take one more. Lynn, you're on WGN Radio. I think Lynn is on line 4. Hi, Lynn, you're on the air. What can we do for you?
Thank you. First of all, I grew up with dogs, but we did have a cat about 20 years ago. And every day, I would leave for work, and he was sitting in front of the refrigerator because we had an old refrigerator. It had a grate at the bottom, and it would be very warm. And every day I would come home, and he would be sitting in front of the grate, or whatever it's called, in front of the refrigerator. One day I came home from work, maybe an hour early, and I opened up the door, and I don't see him in front of the refrigerator, as his normal place would be. And I hear a little thud. And he walked over to the refrigerator in his normal spot, sat down, wrapped his tail around himself, looked at me, gave me a look as if to say, you caught me. You think I am here in front of the refrigerator all day, but I know cats like to be high. And he was sitting on the chair. But when I came in, he went right to the refrigerator.
Mm, oh. So that's his place. He knows this is where I should be.
Yeah.
And the one time you got in a little early, you caught him. I love a contrite pet. That is great when they, they sort of do have that look that they know that you know that they did bad and they're sorry. Steve Dale says it's a push. It's nice to see you, Steve. Well, when are you going to be on the radio again?
This Sunday morning at 6:30. So here's how I – maybe it's our problem. Maybe it's our lack of intelligence because we do really well at understanding dogs.
Yeah.
We've evolved with dogs quite literally. Maybe our problem is that we don't understand cats quite as much as we could or should. After all, cats domesticated themselves. We didn't domesticate them. They've been playing people for a very long time. Maybe the thing is they continue to do that.
Nice to see you, Steve. Thanks for coming in.
Great. Thank you, sir. King Lordship.
Thinking big thoughts so you don't have to.
Friday.
Here's John Williams.
Let's think some good thoughts. We will do our Bright Side of Life segment at 2:40. You'll call in, tell me some good news. Why you're smiling in this world, we'll smile with you.
Lord,
it's our Bright Side. It works every single Friday we do it. It's a group hug. I want you to be part of the good news. That is the Bright Side at 2:40. Gee, John, that sounds a little cheesy to me. It works. I'm telling you, you'll enjoy it. I want you to call or text in about a half an hour with your Bright Side. So the NFL is featuring this week cleats on players. The cleats will represent, they aren't the shoes they normally wear, some cause that that player gets behind. On a phone line is Jordan Howard. He is one of the stars of the league, certainly of the Chicago Bears. We need to get him into the Pro Bowl. I'll tell you how you can help with that in just a minute. But he has a cause near and dear to him. And we just wanted to take a minute and say hi and congratulations. And what is that cause? Hey, Jordan, it's John Williams. How are you this afternoon?
Hey, I'm doing good. And you?
By the way, congratulations on the season you're having. I know you wish the team was doing better, but you are having a Pro Bowl caliber season, my friend.
Yeah, I definitely wish we were doing better, but thank you.
Yeah. I saw the cleats, too, by the way. Did you have much to do with the design or the color of those?
Yeah, I did. I told them I wanted to put them there for both colors. And then Adidas, they decided they would put Doc on there as well and bow ties because on the shirt that I wear every game, my dad, he was wearing a bow tie for his wedding day.
Pulmonary fibrosis's color is green or light green?
Yeah, light green and blue.
Yeah, it's
like a turquoise blue.
It's really going to stand out against the – what color uniform will you guys be wearing this weekend?
Blue,
yeah. it's you can't miss it. Let's just put it that way. And then when you see that and you say, okay, then what's that all about? It's about pulmonary fibrosis. That's the disease that took your father's life when you were, what, 12 years old?
Yeah, I was 12 years old.
Yeah. I understand the story is that you and he were very close. You considered him to be a friend and not just a father, and you've thought about him ever since. When you came to Chicago, that organization is headquartered in this city, so it's a nice fit for you in many ways, isn't it?
Yeah, that definitely worked out when I found out that the organization was based out of Chicago and I was playing in Chicago, so that definitely worked out for this.
So what are you doing for the organization then? This conversation helps. What else are you doing for them?
Just try to promote anything. If they tag me and stuff, I try to retweet it and stuff. Last year, I raised, last I went to, they had a lot of people who were affected by pulmonary fibrosis. Either they had it or they knew somebody who had it. I went to speak to them and things like that. I raised $10,000 to donate to the Pulmonary Fibrosis Foundation earlier this year.
Pulmonary Fibrosis Foundation. The website is pulmonaryfibrosis.org. Pulmonaryfibrosis.org. To find out more, to make a donation to a cause that's near and dear to Jordan's heart. And by the way, if you want to also follow him on Twitter, at jhowardx24, at jhoward24, you've pinned to the top a tweet that people can resend to get you into the Pro Bowl. That couldn't be any easier than that. Just go follow him on Twitter right now and help both causes, pulmonary fibrosis and this young man's march to the Pro Bowl. Jordan, good luck to you, man. Best wishes, and we'll look for your fancy shoes. Hopefully they'll get more than 100 yards next week, this weekend, okay?
Okay, thank you. And thank you for having me.
You betcha. Take care, man. On the phone line is Lisa Gill. Lisa joins us from Consumer Reports, where she is the deputy content editor. Lisa, this is John. You're on WGN. How are you?
John, I'm doing great. Thanks so much for having me today and talking about this topic of cough and colds and flu.
Do you guys always do this? The cover story is about the cough and cold, and it's Consumer Reports that's doing it. It's not a washer or dryer or a Toyota. It's the cold and flu. Is this something you guys do, take on a disease or the cold and flu season?
Absolutely. And you know what? Products, cold products, flu products that treat these two problems are definitely something we worry about because people spend so much money on them, $5.8 billion last year just alone. We can see, too, from national surveys that we've done and from secret shoppers that we sent out all across the country just earlier this year, that there are too many products on the shelves and the products that are there are confusing. And that was really why we dug into this. We wanted to help consumers understand what they were buying, what works, what doesn't, and just what they can skip and do at home instead.
And I guess first you have to sort of diagnose yourself a little bit. Is this a cold that I'm suffering from or the flu, right?
That's right. You know, it's a few of our very good health editors failed this quiz, and it's understandable. But you know what? Really quickly, a flu comes on hard and fast, typically, and with a fever. You have body aches and pains, and it's like you know when you have the flu, you need to rest immediately, not go to work or school if you can. You're also highly contagious. A cold comes on a little slower, usually starts with a sore throat. You might have a low-grade fever. Head might hurt a little bit, but the congestion comes usually a day or so later. You're still contagious also, but people still can go to work and go to school if they need to. But, yeah, there's definitely a difference between the two. Like I said, I think most people know when they have the flu because it hits you so hard.
Do people try and go back to work too soon with these things?
Yes. Yes, absolutely. You know, the flu can be – you're typically out at least a week from work, but you may feel lousy up for almost 2 weeks. The problem with going back too soon is that you are not going to feel great and you still could be contagious. You really need to be fever-free for at least 24 hours and preferably 48.
Hate's not the right word because we've all been victim of this ourselves, but too often I think people are these workplace heroes. They're staying around work, slobbering and coughing and achy and, you know, because I'm here, we're going to get the job, whatever. I don't know what their rationale or motivation is, but I'm like, I know you're here for us, but I wish you weren't when you're like that, you know?
Right. That's right. That's right. It doesn't really help anybody when you're there. You know, a lot of places these days you can work from home and there's no real need to come in and really be the hero. You're definitely not going to feel better as a result. But, you know, this is a good chance to say that's one thing that the flu shot will protect you from. Flu shots, when you get them, and, you know, it's still not too late. I mean, we are coming in right into the flu season, can reduce your risk of getting the flu by about a half, anywhere from 40 to 60%. This year might be different. The reports are still early. They do think it's going to be a pretty bad flu season, so I would encourage you to get the shot. But, you know, the other good thing about it is once you get that shot, if you do get the flu, it will help not be as severe. You won't suffer as severely, and you might suffer for a less period of time. It might be shorter, and that's a really good thing.
It's interesting, isn't it? I haven't got my flu shot yet. Shame on me, but they have different efficacies, the flu shots, each year. Some years it's great, and some years it's kind of a bust.
Right.
We don't know how we're going to – we don't have the results in for this year, huh?
That's right. It's a little, like I said, a little tough to tell, but it's still worth getting, especially if you're older or you are a woman who's pregnant or you have small children. Those folks definitely should get it. Or you have a compromised immune system for any reason. Maybe you have an ongoing illness. The flu actually hospitalizes hundreds of thousands of people every year. Flu seems like it's not a big deal, but it can get really serious really fast and set you up for other infections like pneumonia. And unfortunately, tens of thousands of people die as a result of just the regular old flu. So that's why getting a shot is so important. You can go into your local pharmacies. Almost every single pharmacy offers a flu shot of some kind, obviously at your doctor's office, and most insurance will cover it if it's too expensive.
Lisa Gill's the deputy content editor for Consumer Reports. How should I medicate myself if I've got the flu?
Well, you know what? It depends on what you have. But the first thing is you're probably going to have a fever and you're going to have body aches. And there's two things you can do for that. Tylenol, you know, acetaminophen, ibuprofen, or naproxen, so Advil or Aleve. That's going to help bring that fever down and help you feel better. But the home remedy there's excellent evidence for is chicken soup. Chicken soup does double duty. It has anti-inflammatory properties, which actually help reduce that feeling of just being so achy and in so much pain. And also a warm liquid for the broth of chicken soup helps you your throat feel better and will help your head feel better. So those ibuprofen, Advil, naproxen, Aleve, and Tylenol and chicken soup were definitely like your big first steps.
Your magazine said something that surprised me a little bit, and that was that a fever really in and of itself is not that serious a thing.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah,
because we you know that old adage about fever, starve a cold, whatever. I mean, it's okay to let a fever run its course?
You know, you don't want it to go too high. You know, my max is about 101, but you know, and it's totally fine if you want to treat it because it makes you uncomfortable. And if you don't want to take medication for it, you can use a cold compress just to help you feel better and maybe bring the fever down a little bit. But, you know, there's sort of mixed theories about it. I think it depends on your personal comfort level. And, you know, and for kids, you don't want the fever to get too high. 103 and up is definitely a cause for concern.
Right, but the fever is just evidence that your body's fighting this fight, and if you eliminate the fever, the body's still fighting that fight. But at least it takes away some of the uncomfortable symptoms of that war. So it's okay to treat the fever, but if you don't, that's not going to harm you that much either. Fair enough. We're combating the fever or maybe the aches and pains. Didn't you guys also say something about acetaminophen, that we should be cautious about that?
Right. So part of our investigation, actually, which is all available for free in full online at consumerreports.org, this whole cover story that just came out on newsstands, you can go take a look at. There's a lot of information there. One of the things that we looked at were surprising side effects from just everyday drugs you see on pharmacy shelves, and one of them is acetaminophen. This product shows up in more than 600 products, products that are on store shelves. It's very safe for when you take it up until the daily maximum, which the FDA tells us is about 4,000 milligrams. But just beyond that, this drug becomes toxic to the liver and sends tens of thousands of people to emergency rooms every year for liver damage and liver failure. So you got to be very careful with the amount that you get every day, which is why we often suggest if you have multiple symptoms, buy one drug for one symptom. And that way you can control all the medications you're taking. Don't take one of those like multi-symptom products. And mostly because there's so much acetaminophen, you might wind up accidentally taking too much.
So, though, then I'm going to walk out of the Walgreens with maybe more products than I would otherwise. I'm going to get something for decongestion. I'm going to get something for pain. And I'm going to get by symptom-specific products, you think.
Exactly. Now here's the thing about cost, because there's definitely, you know, you're right. You may be winding up buying 2, 3, or even 4 products. Our suggestion is go generic whenever possible. Mm-hmm. The active ingredients for over-the-counter drugs for both the store brand or the generic brand versus the branded drug, it is the exact same ingredient. They may look a little different. The pill may have a different color or a different taste, but that is completely cosmetic. That generic is regulated the same way, has the same efficacy and safety as the branded does. So we say go generic whenever you can. You could save a boatload of money.
You and I are sort of talking about the flu here. If we were talking about the cold, I want to ask you, what do you think of coldies or products like that?
So products, you know, anything that's sort of in the – we looked at a sort of a series of supplements. Everything from echinacea, zinc, vitamin C, garlic, probiotics. You can find it all at consumerreports.org. To wrap it all up, the majority of these products are probably not worth taking because the risk of side effects is there, and the evidence to show that they actually reduce your risk of getting a cold or cut a day off that cold is pretty scant. We have a bunch of suggestions otherwise, but I would say for the most part, supplements, skip them.
I'm so sorry to hear you say that. Because there's plenty of us who...
You must have a different experience. Tell me a little about, does it work for you?
All I know is that if I get it, I'm not religious about this, but if I get a scratchy throat and I'm quick enough in 24 hours, and if I get a lot of zinc going, it seems to marginalize my cold. No?
Well, you know what? That kind of makes sense. Now, for you, so that is true. Actually, the evidence does indicate that it can reduce your cold, that starts just within 24 hours. So it's not horrible. But I got to say, if you take it all the time, you got to be aware it could cause nausea, stomach cramping, even vomiting. And, you know, taking it, you definitely do not want to take it, like, long term. Like, you don't need to take it every day.
Yeah.
It can cause a copper deficiency. So you got to be careful. I don't take supplements because they're not regulated the same way that medications are regulated by the FDA.
Hmm.
But, you know, zinc, some people swear by it.
You guys also say something that's alarming is maybe not the right word, but about vitamin C, that if you take too much vitamin C, I thought, heck, I pop a vitamin C every day during the winter. That's a good idea. You say that could lead to kidney stones.
Yes. You know what? That was surprising to us, too. Some literature, some studies have come out indicating there is an increased risk of kidney stones. And because of that, we suggest get your vitamin C from food. Leafy greens and any kind of citrus will go a long way toward vitamin C. The kidney stone is really, really painful if you've ever had one. And the benefit of that vitamin C may be having a shorter cold for us. I can't recommend it.
Right. If you told me, hey, John, life of longer colds or never have a kidney stone,
right.
I think I would say never a kidney stone. I'll take longer colds.
Exactly.
If that's
the
complication.
Oh, it's like the worst thing. Yeah. It's the worst thing ever.
By the way, just two last quick questions for you. One, one of our listeners wants to know, should a six-month-old baby get a flu shot? What's the age at which you get a flu shot?
Well, the answer is yes.
Really? Even at 6 months?
There are, Well, let's see. I'm going to super double check. Now you got me questioning teens and adults. Yeah. Well, so that's a good question. I'm going to go with yes and double check. I would say double check with your pediatrician. There may be other considerations. But
yeah, right. Well,
I want to ask.
You're not a doctor, so consult your physician.
That's right. There may be, you know, the physician may have very special instructions for that six-month-old.
It's nice that all of the content of this, we'll wrap it up here, but it's nice, Lisa, that all of this content is available for free online. Is that always the case with Consumer Report?
For a lot of the health content, it's all safety-driven. So our goal is to make sure that people understand the benefit of all the medications that they take and the risks, as well as the cost. And so in this case, there are a lot of risks with a lot of these medications, and we decided to make the entire I think this is a 14-page cover story. It's a tremendous amount of magazine real estate.
Yeah.
We put it online for free. Anybody can go take a look.
I noticed. Well done. And thanks for visiting.
Yeah,
no kidding. And then
and then
subscribe to the dang thing and, give them some money for all the effort down the road. It's a terrific publication. Lisa Gill.
Yes, that's right. No, we don't take any advertising.
Deputy content editor over there. All right, Lisa. Well, let's visit again. Thanks for your time.
Awesome. Thanks so much.
Marcia's also in our studio. Marcia, how are you?
Hi, John. I'm doing good. And yourself?
You and I haven't done this in a while. Thanks
for
popping
in. I missed
you. From up in our sales department, she helps us out on Fridays when we're both in the same place between vacations and whatnot. We haven't actually been here to do the Bright Side of Life segment in studio. And we got a nice price for the first Bright Side caller. Not that we normally have to do this. The lines just light up, but we'll start picking up the phone lines in just a minute. If you have some good news you want to share, big or small, we want to hear it. Call 312-981-7200, or Marcia will read it if you text, right?
That's right.
312-981-7200. Are you going to share a Bright Side with us, too?
I am.
Do you know what it is already?
I do.
Do you want to share it with us right now?
You want me to share it now?
Go ahead and prime the pump, as they say. What's your bright side?
Well, my bright side is that I will have my mom here with me for another year. Her birthday is Sunday.
I'm not going to ask how old your mom is. How old your
I'll
mom?
I'll never tell a lady's age.
Yeah.
She's
happy
still young enough to...
She's got one of those December birthdays, too, where it's... well, because it'll be December 1st, right? What did you say?
No, Sunday, the 3rd.
The 3rd.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. December birthdays are the worst because Christmas crowds it all out, you know?
Yeah, you kind of miss out a little bit.
And my wife has her birthday early in January. I have a sister who has hers late in December. And, you know, everybody's always outspent. they're done drinking, eating, partying, and they don't want to do a birthday right now.
It's over.
Yeah. So nice of you to remember your mom for her birthday.
Thank you.
I just want to pass along a couple of other holiday things. These are some suggestions that we like to pass along on Fridays just before the Bright Side segment. I'm reading from the Tribune and from some of Elif's notes today. Skating in the park. You can skate the NHL size rink with the whole family for free. The skate rental is $8 if you go to the MB Financial Park at Rosemont. Yeah, they're doing that through February. And it's only $8 to rent the skates there. It costs more to rent the skates at the park at Wrigley. It's a much smaller rink, but it's a cozy rink. You get enough room to skate. They've got the hot apples, cider and spiced wine, cold beer and bratwurst and Christmas ornaments and chocolate and stuff like that, a great big tree. So if you're on the north side of Chicago, bring your own skates or rent them, I think, for $10. And they do that until 11 o'clock at night. It's lit up late. Nick Offerman is going to be at the Chicago Theater tonight. I don't know if that's sold out or not. They're advertising this like maybe you can still get tickets to see the popular humorist, writer, and actor. Nick Offerman is a graduate of the same high school I graduated from, and that's Grundy County's very own Manuka Community High School. My claim to fame is that my sister's once boyfriend ran a video store in Manuka, and the flunky working there was Nick Offerman. Mary told Nick to take the garbage out. How cool is that? And then he went on to great fame. And here's one other thing from the Trib's 10 Things to Do This Weekend that I just have a little experience with. White Christmas, Irving Berlin's classic. With all the famous songs, it cost you $19 for the cheapest seat and $180 for the most expensive one is at the Cadillac Palace Theater. It got a great review from Chris Jones in the Chicago Tribune, White Christmas, Irving Berlin's classic as a stage show. He liked it more than I did, and if you had to bet on which of us is a better guesser of whether or not you'd like a show, I would guess with him. But I still don't think it's worth $180. So there's a couple of things in the Tribune today. But Elif also said, don't forget to mention cookies and cheer at the Fairmont Hotel in Chicago. You can sample seasonal cookies and wine and go home with 36 cookies of your choosing. That's over by Millennium Park. It goes till 7:30 tonight. Cost you $75 to do this event. Tickets are at eventbrite.com. Foster the People is playing at the Aragon Ballroom tonight at 7 o'clock. Tickets start at $91. AragonBallroom.org. Miracle on 34th Street, the radio play, tomorrow at 2 o'clock at the Artistic Home. Tickets are up to just $20. That's Miracle on 34th, a radio play. And the LaGrange Holiday Walk is tomorrow. You can see ice sculptures, outdoor carolers, festive open house, dozens of merchants, free trolley buzzing up and down, and holiday matinee. It says free trolleys and a holiday matinee. I'm not sure of what, plus a petting zoo with pony rides. It's all going on in LaGrange tomorrow from 3 until 9. Here's our little jingle.
Some things in life are bad. They can really make you mad.
Call me now, you'll get in.
Other things just make you swear and curse.
We open up extra phone lines for...
When you're chewing on life's gristle.
Bright Side.
That grumble, give a whistle.
Get ready.
And this'll help things turn out for the best.
Sing it home, kids.
And always look on the bright side
whistle.
Of life.
Get ready. Marcia, do you know how to whistle?
Always absolutely. Look on the light.
Let me hear you whistle.
If life seems jolly rotten,
I believe that's a no. By the way, you'll say hello to Elif Garris, our producer, when you call 312-981-7200. And Marsha Lyles from WGN Radio Sales is kind enough to come down and help us with The Bright Side. Here we go.
I always look on the bright side of life.
All right, Deb, you go first. You're on WGN. What's your bright side?
I celebrated 25 years of employment with the same employer yesterday. It's been awesome. I was employee number 5 when I started, and we now have 120 employees.
Wow.
And it's been a great experience, and I was just really proud of that.
No, likewise. Now, what a nice thing for you to say. What's the company?
Tailored Label Products, actually out of the Milwaukee area.
You're listening to us across the Cheddar Curtain, aren't you?
I am.
That's okay.
I listen to you guys all the time.
Congratulations. Thank you. Hey, Teresa, this is John. You're on WGN. What's your bright side?
Hey, John, this is Therese, and I have successfully done my two infusions of the new MS medication.
Oh,
and
that's
survived. And as long as the rest of us are, who are doing this, no one has an adverse effect, we will continue it now.
You told us
no
about your
injections.
First one. You were so optimistic and so positive, mm-hmm. and it's a new trial medication for MS. You're in the study group, and it's going well for you, huh?
Very well.
Hey,
very
listen,
well,
last time you called, I got some calls from people who just wanted to know about this trial. Can I put you back on hold for a second?
You certainly may, yes.
Therese, what good news. Thanks for calling. Hold on now, okay?
Thank you.
Yeah, some folks said, okay, I don't know how we get into that study, but can we? And what's up there, John? We'll find out more. Sally, this is John. What's your bright side?
Hi, my bright side, John, is I'm cancer-free 2 years.
Woohoo! Call me next year, Sally. Let's talk about it then, too, okay?
I love you.
On line four, why are you smiling, Nate? You're on WGN. What's your bright side? Hey,
Hello?
Nate, you're on the air. What's your bright side?
Oh, hey. You know, it may sound funny, but I'm thankful I got a new car. I was driving a 98 Chevy Cavalier, and now I got a 2013 Honda.
Anybody that gets out of a 98 Chevy Cavalier, that's a bright side I think we can all relate to. Congratulations, Nate. All right, Marcia, you're up. Give me some bright sides.
All
what
right,
are folks texting?
All right, from the 219 area code, my daughter, Megan Betnerick, I'm sorry, finished up her last day of student teaching today at Purdue.
Give me another one.
Oh, from the 608 area code, that's Darlington, Wisconsin. My oldest son got engaged last night, so excited to get a new daughter. I'm sure that's exciting.
A young lady who's dressed as a Santa's elf just walked by the showcase studio. Violetta Podromedic, what's your bright side?
Yeah, my bright side is collecting toys for Tots here in Pioneer Court with the Ro Con Show with Anna DeBlantes. Apple Chevy's helping us out. And hopefully a lot of people bring toys over.
Thank you, V. See you in a little bit. She looks like an elf. Pretty funny. Let's talk to Jan. You're on WGN. Hey, Jan, what's your bright side? You're on the air.
Hi, John. I'm coming tomorrow to see you
at
Elgin Community College. And I would like to know, are you going to wear a pair of funky socks like you did when you did the Teddy Roosevelt spiel?
Did I refresh my memory. Did I wear funky socks to TR?
Oh, you did. Yes, you did. You had the best socks.
Oh, I know it. The jokes. I did not wear socks to the TR show. It was.
Oh, my God.
I was told it was a fashion faux pas, said Ella. Oh, no. I did wear socks, and I think that suit would have been best if I didn't. Anyway.
But you know what? It's your trademark, so you got to wear something goofy tomorrow.
I'll see you tomorrow, Jan. All right, Marcia, give me another bright side.
You know what, John? I think we can all agree to this one. From the 815 area code, my bright side is that we still have fall temperatures on December
1st. Amen to that. Amen to the weather. If nothing else, you got that. Hey, Carl, this is John. What's your bright side?
Hey, amen, John. How you doing?
Good, man.
Hey, John, two things, actually. Next Wednesday, I'm going to see Andrea Bocelli at United Center.
Nice.
And regarding this Monday, please do not go forth on the 4th with a 5th, for you may not go forth on the 5th.
Always look on the light.
He's called with that before. He's good at it. Pick up another phone line.
If life seems jolly rotten, there's something.
Let's go to Kevin. Forgot. Hey, Kevin, it's John. You're on WGN. What's your bright side?
I actually have a reason to watch the Bears game this Sunday.
What's that?
Our neighbor and good friend Jimmy Garoppolo is starting as quarterback for the San Francisco 49ers.
Wow. You know the starting QB of the 49ers.
From high school through college all the way through, the Patriots flag is down and the San Francisco 49ers flag is flying high.
All right, Marcia, give me another one. What's another bright side?
This one's coming from area code 309. One daughter started a job downtown Chicago recently, and another daughter was accepted to grad school for her MBA.
Nice. Okay, I'm trying to bring up line 12. I think that is Carl. Hey, Carl, are you there?
John, I am here. My bright side is, with this great weather we've had, I was able to hang all my outside Christmas decorations, lights, and garland in shorts and flops.
I'm telling you.
What retirement is like.
I was just thinking about that last night. I'm going, I've got to get out there this weekend because the weather is never so good for Christmas decorating, is it?
No. Working right now, though.
Say, hang in there, buddy. Thanks for the phone call. All right, Marcia, give us another one.
This one's coming from 815. My bright side is I get to see you, John. Tomorrow, my husband and I will be attending the Thomas Jefferson Self-Evident Truths.
That's the name of the show. It's going to be really good, and you can. I think it's sold out. But if you want to go, and it will really be special this year, go to WGNradio.com/events. Hey, Scott, this is John. You're on the air. What's your bright side?
It's been 9 months clean and sober.
Wow. How are you doing, Scott? How's it going?
It's going pretty good. I'm just hanging in day by day.
Oh, you sound great, man. Have you called me with this before, Scott?
I might have.
Yeah.
And Dachshund's rule.
I got
and there's a little thing on the internet called Caruso. He's a internet Dachshund. Just look him up.
Caruso, yeah. My wife has, we've seen the Caruso videos. They're pretty amazing, aren't they?
Yes. Yes, Dachshund's rule.
My boy, Scott. All right, Marcia, you're up. Give me a bright side.
All right. Area code 847. My bright side is that I won Hawks game from the tickets from WGN.
Woohoo!
That's for Sunday, by the way.
Hey, Elif, have you done yours yet? What's your bright side, Ms. Garris? This is our producer, Elif. What's your bright side?
I adopted a cat.
Oh, that's right. Magic, right?
Mm-hmm.
How's Magic doing?
He's good. So he's misbehaving, but he doesn't know that he's misbehaving, so it's okay.
Did you talk to Steve Dale about that?
No.
All right, so Magic is Elif's bright side. Maybe a couple more here. Let's talk to John. Hey, John, you're on WGN. What's your bright side? You're on the air.
Hey, John, huge fan. I am on my way for the 22nd year in a row to play Santa Claus at the Clarendon Hills Christmas Walk. And I love making those kids happy and making their dreams come true.
Thank you, John. Marcia's up. You're on WGN. Marcia.
All right, 773. We have a happy grandparent. My grandson is 3 months old today, and my granddaughter is 2 months old today.
Let's go into the sports booth. Kevin, are you going to do a bright side for us, sir?
I got two. I, as well, just like Violetta, will be embarrassing myself in an elf costume in just minutes here on the Rokan Show as we collect toys for tots. And number two,
yeah.
Tiger Woods is back, folks. Shot a 68 today. That followed up his opening round 69. He's back.
He looked good. I saw him interviewed on TV today. Have you been able to see his swing? His game looks good?
Yeah, it's not completely there, but man, come on. First tournament in 10 months, and he's back-to-back sub 70 rounds, so I think he looks good. I think he looks healthy, which is the most important part.
We've had a love-hate relationship with him in the last few years, but everybody's going to be rooting for Tiger, don't you think?
Oh, no question. He's good for the game. All the players on the tour love him because, one, he makes them more money, higher TV ratings, all that stuff, and he's just maybe my favorite athlete of all time, so I'm a little excited here, John.
Let's go to Lisa. You're on WGN. Lisa, what's your bright side? You're on the air.
My bright side is my son just booked a flight to go over to Canterbury, England, to propose to my future daughter-in-law. And the cool thing is they're using a ring that's a generational ring to my great-grandmother, my grandma, and my mom.
Does she know that he's on his way to do this?
No. I mean, she knows he's going over there to visit, but she doesn't know what he's going to do.
Oh, man. How about that? All right, report back to us. I want a full report on another bright side. Thanks for the phone call, Lisa. That's our bright side. Elif, are we missing somebody? Did you whisper something in my ear? We're okay? We're all good to go?
Oh,
Ryan?
Another one. I have a text here personally.
All right, one more text and one more Ryan. Ryan, you go.
Yeah,
what's your bright side?
I just want to tell you that my daughter qualified her cheerleading team for state, so I'm headed to the Sears Center in Hoffman Estates this afternoon to watch the Paphos Spirit cheer.
How about that? All right, we'll find out Monday. Good luck to them. And one more text.
Well, John, this is from a random caller to our offices upstairs yesterday. Sean Gardner from the South Side. My bright side is... Oh, my goodness. I met you last week. Oh, my God. Okay. Never mind.
You're going to read that? Thanks for your bright sides. 312-981-7200. We close our week and get ready for Row on the Weekend Fridays with the bright side. Anna DeVlantis is in the Allstate Showcase studio.
Hi there, John.
Where's your
Hello,
teammate?
Everybody. Well, we've got Ro, Khan, and Violetta out on in Pioneer Court there.
Hey, kids.
You can see them.
We're here.
With the Silverados. They're in the Santa costumes and the elf costumes. Looking very festive out there, Ro.
I do like Violetta, actually, in her elf costume, brought out her Michael Kors bag, and it's just sitting on one of the trucks. It looks like it was either just donated or about to be stolen. I'm not sure which.
Careful, that might
be. Are we going to have pictures? Because you guys spend the money on the costumes. Ro looks very much like a hip Santa Claus.
Yeah.
Yes, he does.
And
with
Violetta,
the aviator sunglasses.
Yeah, it'd be a trimmer, kind of a little more buff than maybe you're used to Santa Claus
yeah,
being.
Yeah, that's right. No big deal.
And Violetta,
looking good.
Imagine an adorable elf that is Violetta right now. So well done, guys.
Well, she's elf in size, so it works out just kind of perfectly for everybody. It works out nicely.
So then, are you going to do the same rants and show in your Santa Claus outfit, Ro?
Yeah, basically. Well, I don't know if you saw the news today, John.
Much to rant about.
Some things have happened here. So we are going to talk. Actually, Michael Steele is going to join us coming up in about 20 minutes. I may pop back into the studio for that because I don't know. I think Santa is required by federal law not to be political in the middle of.
I know, it's just so weird to see Santa Claus going, and then the president did this.
Yeah, I know it would be bad. Although I could see Santa doing that.
Yeah.
So I could see that happening. But anyway, so here's the point is we're going to be out here. We're at the corner of Michigan Avenue and Heaven. And we right here, Michigan Avenue in the river,
yeah.
A Pioneer Court. It's right here. And what we're going to be doing is we're going to be raising all the toys that we possibly can for Toys for Tots. Marines are here.
Bring some toys.
Violetta's here.
Bring some toys.
We've got the Apple Chevrolet, Apple Chevy, Silverados here, John. And they are going to be, we're going to fill them up. They're about, what would you say, Violetta? About how filled would you say they are?
Right now, about 10%.
About 10%. We need to be at 150% by the time we're done here, John.
Overflowing.
150%.
I'd say come down and get your picture taken because it's a red pick-em-up truck with a green Christmas tree strapped to the top of the cab.
And it's next to a white pickup truck, too, by the way.
Oh, yes, that's right.
There's two of them right here.
Yeah.
And I want to also point out that the first 500 people who come, or 200 people who come down here, just give away 300 more things I don't have, they're getting gift certificates, right? We got gift certificates to... We got to Tuscany Restaurant.
Oh, nice!
We've got gift certificates to get a free cheeseburger from the kids across the street at the Billy Goat, world famous cheeseburger. And right now, across the street, also at the Wrigley Building.
Yeah.
The Wrigley Building has actually, and this is pretty great. The Wrigley Building is offering a buy two get one free toys. Just for this event. So you can go into the Wrigley Building, which the Walgreens right there at the Wrigley Building, and come across and do that.
See, and then just walk across the street, drop them in the Silverado, and you've done a good deed for a kid in need.
And then you're getting I think it's something, it's like over $50 worth of certificates for doing it.
Oh,
so it's like,
go wrong.
I'd say it's right. And I want to just thank once again our friends at Apple Chevrolet and John Alfairovich for doing this for us because
it's
absolutely amazing.
It's a perfectly festive scene.